Chapter 4 of The Christ Within by Lillian DeWaters. In the first chapter of Genesis, we find the great pattern, the perfect idea in God, consciousness of the perfect man. In the second chapter begins the process or manifestation, and man is made a living soul. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. 1 Corinthians 15:45. Hence, man is a natural man or a living soul until the quickening spirit comes through Christ, truth. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body, declared Paul, familiar with both. Until one is born again, or until one has put on Christ, he is the natural man. As we have borne the image of the earthy, the first Adam, so shall we also bear the image of the heavenly, the last Adam, or Jesus Christ. Jesus came to establish the quickening in man, or to make the living soul a quickened spirit. To cause man, made in the likeness and the character of God, to know himself, to recognize his power and might and dominion and glory because of Christ, free spirit within him. The natural man, or the man unquickened, cannot resist evil, cannot walk over the waves of sin and sickness and sorrow, and come forth victorious and triumphant in spiritual power. Only the spiritual man, the one born of spirit, can do these works. As Jesus himself was anointed by the Holy Spirit and through the Holy Spirit accomplished all his great work, so we need the baptism of the Spirit, the spiritual quickening and illumination, that we become the sons of God, sons by adoption, the redeemed, mentioned in Revelation, as those who have the name Jesus Christ in their foreheads. When man is governed by Spirit, the One, he then expresses his true character. While man is under the law of his own thinking, he expresses this thinking in his body. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Applies to all who are in school needing the law as a schoolmaster. As Paul clearly states, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. After faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. The kingdom of God needs no such law as the mental law of right and wrong thinking, for when we have attained the spiritual, we cannot think other than spirit. Howbeit, until we have attained, we are under the schoolmaster. Speaking from the plane of the spirit, reality, regardless of what we think, perfection is and ever will remain. Our right or wrong thinking does not make us what we are in reality. Thought cannot change the real or the changeless, and the objectification of wrong thought is neither lasting nor natural. Right thinking brings into our experience the good that already is. Right thinking puts us in contact with the good and the true and the lovely. Right thought has a part to play, and a very important part, but we must know where this part belongs. The conceiver precedes his thought. Thought is the result of a cause, or is the cause in operation. The electric wire is not the electricity. The electricity precedes the wire and can be utilized without a wire. Thus, God, the I Am, precedes thought and can be known without thought. Thought is not first, nor is thought the creator, nor should we deify our thought. Good is self-existent. It is a much higher art to see God, reality, than it is to think God, reality. When this fuller idea of Jesus Christ was first presented to me, I did not comprehend it and tried to think it out. I could not conceive how Jesus, who was born in the flesh, Jesus, who was tired and hungry, Jesus, who suffered and died, could be God. I reasoned and thought and read and meditated, but the assurance did not come. The understanding was not felt. One night, while alone and while meditating on spiritual things, it all came. It was as though a book or a picture were placed before me, and all that I did was look and behold. There, laid out before me, was all that I wanted to know about Jesus and God, and even more. I did not think it in and out of myself. I was not conscious of thinking at all. I was only conscious of looking and seeing. Full explanation to all the above questions regarding Jesus was shown me, and what is meant by Jesus as the only begotten Son, his vicarious atonement, and his ever-presence. Far more wonderful and to be desired is that spiritual sense in us which looks and beholds, than all the creative power of thought at our command. Far more glorious and uplifting is it to be taught of God, I will instruct and teach thee, than to seek in the resources of our own mentality for the things of spirit that are not to be found herein. There is a process for the individual to undergo before he can attain to this spiritual blessedness. In that glorious sermon or ladder called the Sermon on the Mount, the ladder leading to the Mount of High Vision, it reads, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." That is, we cannot come to be taught of God feeling within ourselves that we are understanding, we are power, we are creators. But we must be poor in spirit, unclothed of self. We must realize that we are the branch dependent upon the root and the vine. We must be receptive, gentle, humble, trustful as little children. Blessed are they who mourn. This does not, of course, mean they who bewail their troubles and sigh over their tasks. Look at the lessons of those in the New Testament who mourn. How Jesus loved them, how he placed his arms about them, welcoming them and loving them into the kingdom. To mourn means to be repentant, to feel the need of the presence, to feel the need of forgiveness, to feel in need of the promised land. We see Mary Magdalene, poor in spirit, mourning, coming to Jesus and falling at his feet, realizing her emptiness, her great need that this presence speak to her, her great surrender of self. We see Jesus tenderly, lovingly stroking her hair that fell about him and wrapped around his feet and saying to her, "Mary, your sins are all forgiven, wiped away forever, because of your great repentance, your great love, and your desire for a holy life. Peace and joy be unto you." And Simon, the self-righteous one, rich in his own spirit, satisfied with his own goodness, Simon could not conceive how Jesus could say this wonderful thing, "To whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." Only the newborn understand this. Then, in that deep parable of the prodigal son, we find another heavenly message. Many, however, like the son that stayed at home, are unable to comprehend it. Do you believe that he who stayed at home, he who was always good and righteous, should be more entitled to the great feast of refreshments, music, and dancing than was the sinful son who went away, wasted all his father had given him, and tired and wretched in mind and body, came home to be received with open arms by that same father? Beloved, nothing but being tried in the fire, nothing but suffering and new birth can ever open your eyes, that they behold this complex lesson of the prodigal son. Can you understand or experience that which your vision does not reach? No, nor can you from out of your own mentality grasp the deep significance of this lesson. It is needful that we mourn, that we be troubled over our lack of spiritual recognition, that we hunger and thirst so that we may be filled. We need to read again and to heed these wonderful words of a modern writer. Are we clearing the gardens of thought by uprooting the noxious weeds of passion, malice, envy, and strife? Are we picking away the cold, hard pebbles of selfishness, uncovering the secrets of sin, and burnishing anew the hidden gems of love, that their pure perfection shall appear? Are we feeling the vernal freshness and sunshine of enlightened faith? Have you renounced self? God is the fountain of light, and he illumines one's way when one is obedient. The disobedient make their moves before God makes his, or make them too late to follow him. Be sure that God directs your way, then hasten to follow under every circumstance. Who is so great a God as our God? Unchangeable, all-wise, all-just, all-merciful, the ever-loving, ever-living life, truth, love, comforting such as mourn, opening the prison doors to the captive, marking the winged bird, pitying with more than a father's pity, healing the sick, cleansing the leper, raising the dead, saving sinners. That which was fulfilled in the life of Jesus on earth can be fulfilled in the lives of us all. The lion is the symbol of courage. The dove is the symbol of peace. The eagle with her soaring ability is the symbol of vision. And we, the likeness of God, include all these qualities and more. For we shall awake and find ourselves like him, Jesus Christ. He that is in us hath already conquered all. He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. Let us then feel our strength, our victory, our deliverance, and throw off all shackles, all fear, all doubt. For what power can there be in the world that can overthrow the almighty power that is in us? If the kingdom of heaven is in us, and it is, then the King himself is within us. We are the temple. We are the chosen vessel. The King in us is free, flawless, and triumphant. Turn then from appearances of sickness, sin, and sorrow, says this King self, and keep your vision, your thoughts, your actions fixed on me and my perfection. See me causing you to rise upright on your feet. See me causing your eyes to behold the glories of the earth about you. See me causing your ears to hear the melodies of the birds and the voices of men. See me taking you upon the mount and showing you the unseen things of the heavenly plain. Let me be your eyes, your ears, your feet, your health, your strength, your joy. Nay, let me be your all. Then will you drop your burdens at my feet and bear a song away. Beloved, be not overwhelmed by past failures or seeming present obstacles. It takes the night to show us the stars. It took an experience of terrible agony, shame, and disgrace to bring forth the pure gold, Peter. It was not until the sun was darkened and the whole earth shook and trembled that Jesus rose from the dead and gave us the supreme message, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." How can we appreciate the wonders of the Bible if we leave out the deity of Jesus Christ? In Revelation, we behold the city of our King, the city four square, wherein are all things new, wherein dwell the redeemed, whose garments have been washed and made white, whose faces shine as the sun, whose troubles can no longer be remembered or come into mind. The Lamb is the light thereof, and they sing the song of Moses, I am that I am, and the song of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, I am that I am. Truly, this is the gospel that must be preached from shore to shore, the gospel of victory, of triumph, of the King and the finished kingdom. In the book, Our Sufficient Guide, by the author, you will find the Word of God regarding Jesus Christ, His deity, His mission, His ministry, His atonement, and His victory. It is an encyclopedia of the very things that every student ought to know. If we are not using the Bible as our textbook, basing our teachings upon the words of Jesus Christ, then how can we say that we are using the Christ way? Each student must ask himself, do I want a system discovered by man that will heal my mind and my body, my purse and my affairs? Or do I want to understand God, Jesus Christ, and reality? From the mental plane, we hear the voice telling us that we must unfold harmony, perfection. We do not speak thus from the spiritual plane. Herein we do not unfold. This word is a mental term and is set aside as we rise higher. Instead of the word unfold, which means to develop or to grow, we now use the word reveal, or the word disclose or discover. We know that in God's sight we are all that we ever shall be, and we are redeemed, we are holy and divine. We therefore do not grow into, unfold, nor develop perfection. Rather do we disclose what we are. Do we reveal what we are? Do we discover what we are? Do you see the point of difference? The rosebud appears first, and then it unfolds into a full bloom. This is not so with us, although it appears to be this way. When one is ill to his senses, and by knowing the truth, he again manifests health, did he unfold this health? No. The health was already there, even while he was feeling himself sick. If health were not already present, then how could it be seen and recognized again? Thus, on the high plane of Jesus Christ's understanding, we begin and end with perfection, the perfect Christ self, forever in our midst. We know that this self does not have to be developed. In fact, it could not be, nor does it unfold to us. The Christ self is forever all-knowing, is eternally and changelessly perfect, is continually victorious, is forever all that it ever will be. All the thoughts in the universe cannot change the changeless. Then why believe that thought is almighty power? Take heed that the light that is in thee be not darkness. Cease from thine own wisdom. Avoid foolish contentions and striving about the law. They are unprofitable and vain. Why reason ye? The law or thought is the sword that cuts two ways, and he who taketh the law shall perish with the law or sword that he taketh. For he is ignorant that Christ hath redeemed us from the law. And if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. The law of the lesser planes is not of faith. By grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. He that is of God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. If in the past we have not given sufficient attention to the Word of God, to the risen and the living Christ, to divine healing, let us give it now. Let us not grieve over the past in so much that we delay in the present, for the now alone is here. Let us embrace it. Come the Christ way, confess it with our lips, with our pens, and with our lives. The Christ light, which is the light of the world, can take us out of any darkness. Were we truly at one with Christ in our consciousness, we would never be led away by any erroneous teaching. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh nor whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. It was Christ himself who uttered these words, and to those on the mental plane of consciousness, it should be of great significance. Can you reason out the wind? Can you reason where the wind goes and why and whence it comes? No, you cannot. And no more can you reason out about God. For if the wind is above your reasoning ability, how much more is the Spirit of God? If you cannot reason out the wind, a so-called material thing, then why expect to reason out God, the infinite cause and creator of all life? Jesus likened spirit to the wind, because spirit is above and beyond any solution that the mind can furnish. The still small voice cannot be measured with the yardstick of the intellect, nor can it be heard by the hearing of the auditory nerve, for to be born of the Spirit is to enter a new life, as unexplainable to the natural man as is the coming and going of the wind beyond his physical or mental powers of comprehension. The new birth is a mystery to him, not reborn, and the indwelling Christ is unthinkable to him, submerged with the coming and going of the thoughts in his own mentality. It takes living faith to believe in a living Christ. It takes spirit to understand the things of the Spirit. "My heart crieth out for the living God," exclaimed the prophet of old, and crieth many of today. The good shepherd is he who seeks the lost sheep to bring them back into the Father's fold. The faithful watchman is he who warns his people of danger that they may escape. Other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. There is a spirit in man. There is a super sense in man. And this is the spiritual sense that opens into the finished kingdom. This spiritual sense is the new birth taught throughout the scriptures and taught specially by Jesus. The paramount question in the minds of those calling themselves thinkers seems to be, what am I? With emphasis on the I, is it not of graver importance to consider, what is truth? What is Christ? What is the triune God? Is it high vision that we desire a mind like that of Jesus Christ? Yes, it is high, but it is not the highest vision. To try to imitate Jesus is a high vision, but the highest vision is, let this mind be in you that which was also in Christ Jesus, his very mind, his very life, his very strength, his very consciousness, in short, himself. The branch does not endeavor to imitate the vine, but the branch is ever one with the vine. So to live is Christ, not two lives, his life and my life, but one life, and this life, the I am, that they may be one in us. This is high watch. We do not put Christ out that we may be Christ. We awake to Christ within, that Christ may be all. Can we do the works that Christ did? Yes. and greater works than these shall ye do. As we ascend in consciousness, recognizing the living Christ within, we are ushered into higher manifestations. Jesus called sickness the work of Satan, and we certainly know that Christ, light, and Satan, darkness, cannot dwell together in consciousness nor in manifestation. We can speak the word that heals. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Why live on the husks that swine eat when we may dine on heavenly manna? Listen to the strong, plain words of the Master. Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. We must recognize Jesus Christ as the Word made flesh, and we must feed upon this living Word. We must recognize Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world and crown him Lord of all. It is not enough to view Jesus as an example or way-shower and admire and adore him, but in order that we have spiritual life in us, we must feed upon this true vine, this bread from heaven, and drink the great inspiration that such feeding brings. Many would not acknowledge in his day Jesus as God. Many will not acknowledge this fact today. He incensed the people because he made himself equal with God, and people are incensed today over the same idea. Yet he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God the Son, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. 1 John 4:15. Now, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law belongs to the first and second planes of consciousness, the physical law, the mental law. The law is made for the ungodly, the unholy, and the disobedient. 1 Timothy 1:9. The mental plane is the judgment plane, judging good and bad thought, right and wrong ideas, looking for causes of erring beliefs. And let us remember that as many as are under the works of the law, or judgment, are under the curse of that law. The new birth is not the waking of the Christ in us, for he neither slumbers nor sleeps. The new birth is our waking to the Christ in us. When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. Then why not think from this viewpoint? He overcame the world and the devil. Then why not accept this victory? Hereby perceive we the love of God, that he laid down his life for us. This clearly states the deity of Jesus. You ask, how could God lay down his life? Indeed, this question is beyond reason to reply. How could Jesus be God and have no place to lay his head? How could Jesus lay down his life if he is life itself? How could Jesus be crucified and at the same time be God? What great questions to be asked and to be answered to our joy and peace. These questions came to the author, and the answers were seen and felt and understood, and will be given in the forthcoming book previously mentioned and called In His Name. The Christ within takes up the explanation of Jesus as the Godhead, or gives explanation of the deity of Jesus Christ, while the next volume will consider Jesus as man, for Jesus Christ is both perfect God and perfect man, or the Son of God and the Son of Man. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. 1 Timothy 3:16. The following is a quote from Golden Precepts. Before the soul can see, the harmony within must be attained, and the fleshly eyes be rendered blind to an illusion. When you have ceased to hear the many, you may discern the one. Shun praise. Praise leads to self-delusion. Self-gratulation is like unto a lofty tower up which a haughty fool has climbed. Thereon he sits, in prideful solitude and unperceived by any but himself. False learning is rejected by the wise. The doctrine of the heart is for the elect. To each temperament there is one road which seems the most desirable. The way is not found by devotion alone, by religious contemplation alone, by ardent progress, by self-sacrificing labor, by studious observation of life. None alone can take the disciple more than one step onwards. All steps are necessary to make up the ladder. Give light and comfort to the toiling pilgrim, and seek out him who knows less than thou, and who sits starving for the bread of wisdom. This is the conclusion of chapter 4 of The Christ Within by Lillian de Waters. This writing has been read by Laura Cassell in the year 2005.